The Salvation Army vision statement. Last week, Kylie introduced us to it, and she talked about the last five words, which are, with the love of Jesus, with the love of Jesus. And a lot of us probably grew up or knew serve suffering humanity, save souls, grow saints, serve suffering humanity. I like that. It was easy. Save souls, grow saints, serve suffering humanity. We now have this slightly longer one. So the first test is to make sure you can say it. So it starts with wherever there is hardship or injustice. Good. Well done. You can read. Salvos will live, love. No, you're cheating. Ooh. Salvos will live, love and fight alongside others. Transforming Australia one life at a time with the love of Jesus. So we did the last part with the love of Jesus. That's how we transform lives, with the love of Jesus. And today we're looking at these first six words, wherever there is hardship or injustice. And we're looking at this story, of course, of the woman, the bleeding woman, and the fact that she just touched something and her life changed forever. So I had to, I was thinking about, what have I ever touched that was quite significant for me or maybe just changed things for me a little bit? And I found an old picture from 2014. And we'll stick that on the screen. Here it is. And that young guy with the white t-shirt, that's me, believe it or not. And that's Josiah underneath and Noah. And that, of course, is, I should say, of course, a few people understand AFL. That's called the Premiership Cup. And that's why people run around and kick footballs all year to win this cup. And that was the 2006 Cup. And when we went to Perth on the holiday, I said to Kylie, let's go in and make sure we touch the Premiership Cup. Didn't really transform my life, but it was a lovely experience. The Premiership Cup, and I was explaining at 9:30 that I'm hoping the NRL trophy, you have a cup here, of course, you have the trophy. I'm hoping to touch that this year when Melbourne Storm win later in the year, so. So this idea of touch is what the scripture's about in Mark. And this woman, 12 years, she's been unable basically to fit into her community, into society. The Levitical law says that if you are unclean, because she was bleeding, she's called what they said unclean, she wasn't allowed to enter the temple. She wasn't allowed to participate in lots of activities with others. She wasn't allowed to worship God, which seems unreal, doesn't it? Because she was bleeding. So she was kept from so many spaces and so many experiences. So you can see why when she had the opportunity to reach out and touch Jesus in this crowded place, she took the risk. She took the risk, she touched Jesus, and her life was changed forever. Jesus changed this life of hardship and injustice. And that is what Jesus does, isn't it? Changes lives of hardship and injustice. Well, when I was thinking of this and the context for the Salvation Army ministry, I am a little bit of a history buff. I delved into my library to find my copy of this book. I'm thinking, I've got a man here who knows a lot about this. Can you tell everyone what this book is?
I don't know. Is it In Darkest England? Here it is. Yeah. William Booth wrote it, though there's some conference of who have helped him with it, but that's how our social work started. But we beat him to it because we had social work in Australia long before he wrote Darkest England.
Very good. So this this book, In Darkness, England Way Out, 1890, and I do tell my shop managers to go out and look on the shelves at Salvo stores to see if they can find this book. And many of you will know this, but the radical thing about this book is it has a coloured lift-out picture in the beginning of the book, which is, for those that don't want to read the 300 pages, if you can, the whole summary of the book is really in this one poster. Very, very clever in the way it's written. And it's about social reform, social work. It has statistics down the side of charity, destitution, the poor, misery, prostitutes, criminals, drink traffic, suicides, 2,297. It has all these statistics on there. And this book is still studied in universities today and has had a profound impact on social work right around the world. But it was about how we do ministry in hardship and injustice, what our vision statement is. It was written, was actually published 2 weeks after the death of Catherine Booth, his wife. And so he's dedicated the book, it says here, to the memory of the companion, counsellor and comrade of nearly 40 years, the sharer of my every ambition for the welfare of mankind, my loving, faithful and devoted wife, this book is dedicated. I say somewhat a manifesto in social work. And he says in the foreword of the book, I have no intention to depart in the smallest degree from my main principles on which I've acted in the past. My only hope for the permanent deliverance of mankind from misery, either in this world or the next, is the regeneration or remaking of the individual by the power of the Holy Ghost through Jesus Christ. But in providing for the relief of temporal misery, I reckon that I am only making it easy where it is now difficult, and possible where it is now all but impossible, for men and women to find their way to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only making it easy where it is now difficult, and possible where it is now all but impossible, for men and women to find their way to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus is there again, isn't it? So it's not just about the social work. It's not just about helping people that are going through tough times, but it's about sharing the love of Jesus with them. And so the new picture, which will come up on the screen here, which many of you would have seen again, it's the bottom part of the poster, the Sea of Misery. And we have the lighthouse. And the Salvationists are all there, volunteers, soldiers, officers, all different people represented in different sorts of uniforms and clothing, are helping people in the sea of misery, wherever hardship or injustice. And you look at that picture and you see some of the amazing people that work in our movement, those that have worked in the past, some of the legends of the Salvation Army who have literally gone into that water and nearly risked their own lives helping people get out of the water, out of that sea of misery. On the lighthouse, it says hope for all. It's just this idea that whatever happens, whatever you're going through, however close to drowning you are, there is hope for all. Do not give up. And you have the Salvation Army flag there even on an island helping people through their darkest days. One of the great definitions I've heard of the Salvation Army from a non-salvo, he said to me, Captain, I was a captain back then, he said, Captain, I think of the Salvation Army as theology with its sleeves rolled up. Theology with its sleeves rolled up. And I thought, what a great description. Because for us Obviously, we love God. We do this in the love of Jesus, but we need, in a sense, to get our hands dirty. We need, it's not just good enough to watch. We have to sort of get around that sea of misery and help people and bring people out of there through their darker situation. This week, if you've read the Parramattas, you'll see that the 2025 social justice stocktake has been released. Just to give you some context of that, it's a piece of work the policy and advocacy team do in Canberra to help us with government liaising, with getting funds, with giving them real data about what's going on in the world and in separate communities. And if you go into the little app or computerised site, you can actually choose Parramatta and get specific data on each of the council areas. So it's very, very helpful. Interviewed 1,600 people, and it'll be no surprise for you when I put them on the screen, because these are all very political things. But housing affordability and homelessness, 71% is an issue for our community. 57% mental health, and 53% financial hardship and inclusion. And then for the self as well, mental health, housing, finances. And there are real things going on in this world, and there's people that come in this building every day asking for help, don't they? They come in, they see our Salvation Army shield on our building, and they do see it as somewhat of a lighthouse, like William Booth did 135 years ago. And they come to us wanting help. They've got hardship and injustice going on. They're in that sea of misery. There's a picture up here of one of our new Salvo stores in Hoxton Park. Went to the opening of that, I think it was about June last year. I've probably told you some of these statistics before, but we're over 410 Salvo stores now around the country. And we're trying to work out, one of my jobs as the mission person in Salvo stores is working out how we help people through Salvo stores, not just raise funds for the social work of the Salvation Army, but also be a place that can help others. This store in Hoxton Park, has anyone been there or seen this? Oh, very good. This is our new branding, which is interesting, but the red shield on red. So when I was in PR, they always told us, you can never have a red shield on red, you can only have a red shield on white. And then now I'm in Salvo stores, we can do whatever we want. But it works really well. So we have lots of these really bright red stores, and it's the red of the Salvation Army that people are attracted by, and they come to our store. But next door to Hoxton Park is a very, we'd say, very struggling community, one of the most struggling communities in Sydney. And of course, people are coming from that community daily to that store. And it's not to buy, you know, another dress they're going to turn inside out or anything like that. They're coming because they want help, they want assistance. And they see the Salvos as a bit of a lighthouse. I asked a lady there, I'm trying to get some feedback from the managers about if they are willing to help with this or if they feel comfortable doing this, because as you can imagine, all our shop managers are on retail awards. This gets into HR and all sorts of things. But a lot of them are doing works like social workers, of course, which you get paid a lot more to be a social worker than a retail worker. And I said to this lady who'd been in the store for a long time, and I said, tell me, how do you go with this and people coming in? Is it getting worse? Is it getting better? You got any advice for me? And she said, Major Dave, that's what they call me in Salvo stores, Major Dave, no offence, but I've been the shop manager here for 20 years and I've been a social worker for every one of those 20 years. And that is so true, isn't it? That as soon as she's in a Salvation Army building with her shield on it, people come in. the hardship injustice. They come in, they ask for assistance. We've recently had another piece of work that I'm trying to help with at the moment. We have, you know, the 13 Salvos number. Some of you will understand that. 13 Salvos, and they ring up to get their Salvo store's goods collected. I don't want to hear your stories about waiting 3 weeks or they didn't turn up or anything like that. But we have up to, believe it or not, 1,500 calls a day. And we have 15 in Mitchumbury and we have 15 in Noble Park, Melbourne. So 1,500 calls a day, people asking for assistance. What we're trying to do now is help our workers at our call centre help people that are going through hardship and injustice, because they're getting more and more people ringing up asking for help with homelessness. There's another line they're supposed to ring, and unfortunately they can't get through to the other line, or there's no answer on the other line. And our phone numbers are open till 7 o'clock because Western Australia, we take collections till 4 p.m, does that make sense? And so we have all these interesting dynamics going on. And so we now have a chaplain working with the 30 ladies in the call centre, and they have some horrific stories, absolutely horrific stories of people ringing up, you know, threatening to finish their life on the phone, and they have to get help there. And they're supposed to just be taking furniture donations. So there's a lot of need in the world, isn't there? There's a lot of hurting people, a lot of people going through hardship and injustice. And the context for our vision statement is wherever there is hardship and injustice, we will be there. But with the love of Jesus, we will help people. So we go back to the story in Scripture. How does this tie in? Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Jesus noticed this person. The story probably wouldn't have got any airtime at all if Jesus didn't stop and made nearly a bit of a scene in the crowd to say, who touched me? Where's that woman that touched me? And then to say, your faith has healed you. She had to take action. I believe God is moved sometimes by action. She didn't just sit around and think about it. She actually made the effort to touch Jesus. And so many of us, and so many people that come to this centre need a touch from Jesus, don't they? It's that touch that can change your life forever. It's that touch that can change communities. And Jesus decided not to ignore her, but to acknowledge her faith and let people know that by touching Jesus, your life can change forever. So as we continue to look at this vision statement, my question for you is, how are you going to put yourself into this picture? And we go back to that slide here with the lighthouse, and there's all parts of that picture we can relate to. Some of us may have a bit more energy, maybe a bit younger and can literally dive in the ocean and help someone. Others may be on the side there praying for people or donating funds to those helping others. But I think we all know that the sea of misery isn't getting smaller. And especially in Western Sydney, there's a lot of people hurting, a lot of people struggling in life. It's great, even with the appointment of JB this week, you know, someone who's got real strengths and qualifications in mental health. I mean, so much need in mental health just through these doors. And I really pray and believe that Parramatta will continue to do amazing work in this space, as you have for over 140 years. You've helped people. You've been that lighthouse in the community. And I pray that it will continue to be a lighthouse for wherever there is hardship or injustice.